When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Chers auditeurs,
dear listeners,
bonjour.
Welcome in Comme d'Archie Podcast Season 3.
Saison 3 dans le monde fascinant des architectes.
And in the architectural projects.
Je suis Anne-Charlotte Deponte, passionnée d'architecture et docteur des universités en histoire de l'archi.
I am one of the spokespersons of Anne-Charlotte, who is a PhD in architecture history.
Merci.
Thank you.
D'être avec moi aujourd'hui.
To be with us today.
Et
and
maintenant.
Now.
Lundi en français, place au talent.
And Wednesday, let's talk projects. In English, of course.
Bienvenue dans Comme d'Archie.
Dear listeners, good morning. This is Esther on behalf of Anne-Charlotte. It's good to meet you again in Season 3 of Comme d'Archie Episode 69 with the winner project of European 16 in Grenoble. It is titled Labo Rabo and narrated by two of its authors, Alice Rigert and Marguerite Charles. Both interviewed in the French version of Comme d'Archie. Alice Rigert and Marguerite Charles graduated from the École de la Nature et du Paysage de Blois in 2020. Alice is interested in combining her vision as a landscape designer with her interest in urban planning. She accompanies the TN Plus agency in its urban and public space project management missions. Marguerite works on urban projects with the Napier Agency and seeks to accomplish her drawing practice by mixing it with a landscape project. The Europan team. We have formed a team around a common desire to confront our first professional experiences with a new project to develop our ideas and convictions together. The team is composed of five landscape designers: Marguerite Charles, Alice Rigert, Gaspard Biguet, Maxime Bardou, Florian Bonny, and one architect, Cynthia Bonnefi. We have different views and singularities that lead us to complementary practices. Drawing, study of large landscapes, relationship to the economic landscape and urban heritage, relationship to the construction site in its architectural, social, and economic dimensions. Description of the European project. A field experience. The silhouette of the Chartreuse Massif cuts into the Grenoble sky. The rocky and wooded masses stand as a landmark, pointing north. Under the horned peak of Manjala, overlooking the jutting cliffs that fall into the Isère, the buildings of the Rabo stand out strongly in the landscape. How can we not see the promise of a special climb? A call from the mountain turned towards the plains. The nervous oscillations of the roads offer moments to observe the city while ascending. We gradually discover the fragments of a rich and plural past. The heights of the Rabo are remarkable observation posts, allowing a global apprehension of the city in a single glance. The city stands on the sedimentary flatness of the Drac and Isère rivers and highlights the Belledonne and Vercors massifs. This aspect of co-visibility between the Rabo and Grenoble has certainly played a part in its urban design. But the relationship between the two parts is not only visual. Throughout its history, the Rabo has always been linked to the great challenges of the city. Plains and mountains. The Rabo has played a role on its own scale in nourishing the city, protecting it, building it, or reinforcing its metropolitan aspirations. It was indeed a place of refuge and rich in resources for the city during its expansion. The fortified House of Rabo, solidly anchored to the outcropping limestone and sun-exposed, has been weaving a nourishing relationship with the city since the 15th century. The strong complementarity between a mountainous soil and fertile plains gave rise to wine-growing and pastoral activities that ensured a diversified food supply for the inhabitants. The strategic position of the last foothills of the Chartreuse, a crossing point and an opening towards multiple territories, in particular Italy, Savoie and the Dauphiné, but above all an access point to the Alps, quickly became a place to be defended in order to protect the first beginnings of the town. This protective role was reinforced throughout the 17th and 19th centuries, particularly with the construction of ramparts that were rebuilt and improved several times. The intensive extraction of the rock left visible and prominent traces in the landscape. They are a reminder of the founding role of the mountain. The exploitation of stones was necessary for the construction of the city and its ramparts. Finally, when it became a metropolis, the capital of the Alps equipped itself with the appropriate infrastructures, just like the other large French cities. In the plains, scientific and university centers were developed. The Rabault hosted the Institute of Alpine Geography and the University of Geology, both of which had the ambition of acquiring scientific knowledge of the mountain context and the history of the area. Attractive until their closure, these institutes are today a testimony of the environment left in place, a place where the wheels of each time period are overlaid and faced. Finally, the identity of the Rabault seems inseparable from its relationship with the urban challenge. The climate emergency. Adapting to climate change, fighting against biological degradation, and boosting the ecological transition are more than ever important issues in urban development. The IPCC publications reinforce the scientific and social credibility of these phenomena. By 2050, in Grenoble, more than 45 days of heat waves per year are expected, compared to 3 today. This subject is no longer strictly limited to the scientific community, but is addressed to society and to public policies. Grenoble has quickly measured the importance of these issues. The SCOT and its DOO has placed the challenge of adaptation at the heart of territorial projects. The city has had a local climate plan since 2005 and set up in 2018 with the CCAS a heatwave plan to carry out preventive actions to limit the effects of global warming on the inhabitants. The Territoire en Transition chair is actively working on these topics in collaboration with the Mountain Cluster. Initiatives by associations and residents are also launched every year. Indeed, the city has to deal with periods of high heat and pollution. The morphology of the city, surrounded by mountain ranges, only accentuates the climatic phenomena responsible for the heat and lack of water. Fern effect, urban heat island. The Raboratory. The Rabault appears to be an ideal place to experiment new ways of designing the city in the light of climate change. It presents spatial and climatic patterns visible in the city. For example, the soil is shallow or disturbed by its impermeability. There is a high degree of sun exposure, little water supply, and the buildings are old and energy-consuming. Despite this, it remains a site subject to the risks and difficulties of its environment. Landslides, erosion, overgrowth, fires, agriculture on the slope. On the whole, the vacant character of the Rabault is a formidable resource for considering new ways of planning the city. It can become the support of new urban practices without making the visible forms and traces disappear. We break away from the historically monofunctional character of the place, the agricultural Rabault, the military Rabault, the university Rabault, while highlighting what it has actually been. The project developed here is based on the notion of a laboratory. We will try to define a climatic laboratory throughout the project, but it is important to recall its etymology. Laboratory comes from Latin and means the place of labor, of work. This definition in the broad sense already suits us. It is a question of designing a place where we work, where we live, where we develop our ideas. The scientific connotation of the term also carries our purpose. Urban innovation is the main aim of the project. To achieve this, the laboratory is divided into two parts. The first is an acclimatization nursery that will allow us to find the plant species that will make up the public space of tomorrow. These pieces must be adapted to climatic conditions while tolerating urban conditions and uses. This space will thus provide answers to the problems of heat islands and will serve to design public spaces that require less water and are better suited to nature in the city. The vegetation in place is already interesting to initiate the nursery. Nevertheless, some plants from around the Mediterranean will be introduced with the greatest care in order to guarantee the biodiversity of the site. The nursery is spread over different plots. The wooded wastelands constitute the resource space where the genetic material is developed by specific forest management. The waterproof surfaces represent the acclimatization areas where the plants resulting from the selection process are being tested. Their resistance to sunlight, lack of water and poor soil, but also their growth rate, the quality of their shade or their evapotranspiration rate will be studied and compared. Finally, the open meadows, according to their soil and exposure characteristics, will constitute plots available for the planting of different strata: trees, shrubs, perennials, climbing plants, rockery plants. The outdoor spaces will be equipped with two greenhouses, offices, a weather factory, and a grain store in order to complete the different stages of the nursery. The second part of the laboratory is a material library that explores new ways of building, taking the transformation of the Rabot buildings as a first support. In order to be able to respond to current issues, we will innovate by building with new ambitions. We will build by recovering materials, mostly identifiable on site. The aim is to spend as little energy as possible in the construction process. If local materials are not directly usable, they will be transformed and will be used in innovative and cost-effective experimentation. This material library will essentially take shape on the former stone quarry at the level of the Via Ferrata and will coordinate the exchange of materials between the buildings of the Rabot and those of the city plains. An elevator will facilitate the transport of heavy materials and people by leaning on the Vica rock face. The old Barbillon and the Esclangon will be reinvested in workshops where stone, concrete, glass, wood and metal are manufactured, transformed and reinvented. In addition to experiments on buildings, building methods, renovation, recycling, all the components of the public space that join the plantations will be designed, furniture or more permeable floor coverings, for example. Innovative process. The implementation of the Labo Rabot is part of a transformation process involving three major phases. Stage 0, starting from what exists. Known for their rich fauna and flora, the Rabot wastelands are studied and inventoried by specialists, foresters, entomologists, ornithologists, botanists, in order to identify the refuge, resources, and acclimatization plots necessary to set up the adaptation nursery. At the same time, a watch is drawn up on the volumes of vacant buildings and the materials to be recycled during future deconstruction. Stage 1. Launching the nursery and the material library. The students have left the campus and the first transformations are taking place. The Chartres building becomes a greenhouse. Its lighter structures open up the view of the horizon from the Place d'Armes. The old quarry below is being renewed to accommodate the materials from the various works. They are transported by a funicular railway along the rocky slope. Pedestrian access from the Bastille is opened up and allows free movement of visitors during the works. The Maison du Laboratoire will take over the Rabot Tower to become a place of communication about the project in progress, as well as a vacant office that will act as a link with the plains. Stage 2. Developing the activity and welcoming the public. The Climate Laboratory is stepping up its activity with the reinforcement of its Research and Experimentation Center and the establishment of the Weather Factory. The exploitation of the plots extends beyond Rabot itself. The soft traffic routes are being developed and are creating more links with the plains. Both workers and external visitors can be accommodated on site. The educational dimension is marked by the opening of the Halle, a facility that complements the Babel community and enables the exchange of knowledge on the climate challenge. Stage X, If the future is uncertain, the landscape being in constant evolution and the urban challenges bound to be renewed, it is now inevitable to think about the adaptability of the project. In the event that the climate challenge is superseded by a new challenge, the laboratory will be fully open to new uses. The renovated buildings, the structured public spaces, the redesigned routes will undoubtedly constitute an outstanding support for the future stakeholders of the city. Thus, all these phases are the long-term vision of the project, over several years or decades. Linking. The project aims to affirm the link between the city plains and the city mountain, while guaranteeing a balanced relationship and exchange between the two types of landscapes. The Rabot is not intended to be the exclusive answer to Grenoble's urban and climatic problems, but should rather be considered as a support site. Therefore, it brings together stakeholders already involved in research and action, and channels and catalyzes the various initiatives underway. By defining itself as a living laboratory, the Rabot also has pedagogical ambitions. The different trials lead to the delivery of an empirical knowledge of the place and can then be tested within the city. The transformation of the buildings and exterior spaces is fully part of the educational dynamic. The various actors in the development process, urban planners, landscapers, architects, representatives, technicians, craftsmen, laborers, foresters, etc., come to be trained on site. Finally, the underlying ambition of the laboratory is to compose an active, moving, fresh, and welcoming space. The aim is not only to fulfill the missions inherent to the city below, but also to make a singular space sustainable, to make it a place for learning about the city and for building new urban models. In the spirit of a city mountain, the design of the nursery takes up urban patterns, trees in rows, malls, etc. Straight lines and permanent orthogonal meshes frame the ephemeral and evolving plantations of the nursery, underline the layout of the ramparts, and structure shaded rest areas, viewpoints, and walkways. The everyday character of the Rabot must be asserted, and it must remain a site that can be visited and experienced on foot. It remains a landmark between the city and the Bastille, where visitors can meet scientists and practitioners and exchange ideas on the work in progress. Along the way, the Rabot Tower is the welcome center, the site house that provides meetings and information. A metropolitan measure. Grenoble is a region fully affected by climate change, with increasingly frequent heat waves and a growing scarcity of water resources. The Rabot, a key figure in the construction of the city since its inception, has an important role to play in facing the climate challenge collectively. Driven by a scientific and practical approach, the transformation of the city mountain into a laboratory influences the everyday landscape of the city plains with concrete solutions for the quality of urban life. The laboratory takes care of both the existing and traces of the past. Thus, vacant buildings, hardened soils, inert waste or wooded wastelands become inexhaustible resources to change our ways of designing the city. Dear listeners, thank you for tuning in. Let's meet again next week for a new Comme d'Archi in English. And until then, take care of yourselves. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. Thanks to Julien Rebourg, sound engineer, who is collaborating with us today. Don't forget to tune in to our previews on Instagram at Comme d'Archi Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, don't hesitate to promote it by giving it 5 stars and a little comment on Apple Podcast or on your favorite podcast platform. And above all, subscribe to listen to all of our episodes for free. See you soon, and until then, take care of yourself.